T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Baseball is back, and so is MLB.tv. Watch every out-of-market, regular season game on your favorite streaming devices. Anywhere, anytime, all season long. Follow the action live or on demand. Track 4 games at once with multi-view mode. And catch up with in-game highlights. Plus, original programs, minor league broadcasts, and local pre- and post-game shows. Go to MLB.tv to start your free trial today. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
By the way, this is very, very awkward, but I also want to be honest. Tomorrow night, we are heading out to Staten Island after the show at the Barnes & Noble in the Staten Island Mall. I'll be signing copies of My Mets Bible, scoring 30 years of baseball fandom. So come on
I'm
out.
A loser.
If you're in the Staten Island area, Tiki Barber will
why
be there, too.
Why is he a loser for that?
Yeah, why am I a loser?
The whole book is his life being a loser. That was the idea.
Oh, I see.
Yeah.
Oh, I see. I guess. Seems like it was a personal attack when I was going to Staten Island.
The title of your book is 30 Years of Scoring Baseball Games.
Okay.
I love you to death, but that's...
I just want to make sure you're not attacking Staten Island, because that is my favorite borough.
Wow.
And there's tons of Met fans over there.
Yes.
Technically, you've taken a lot of shots yourself at Staten Island. It sounds like you've made up, but in the past, you've made fun of them. You call it the worst borough in the city. It's Siberia, and pizza's bad.
I don't remember ever saying anything like that. I love Staten Island, so we'll be there tomorrow night at Barnes & Noble at 7:30, but I have a small favor. For anybody that's coming to Barnes & Noble in Staten Island tomorrow night, 7:30. And we appreciate Town Fair Tire. They are the official sponsor of me going to all these places with Tiki himself. This is kind of awkward, but I need a tiny itsy-bitsy favor.
Go ahead.
I don't need it from you. You're already doing me a huge favor by showing up.
No, I got it.
I know we're talking about the Mets because it's my book, My Mets Bible.
Uh-huh.
But the Mets will be playing while we're doing the book event. And I'm a big DVR kind of guy. So is it possible that during this event, no Mets spoilers? Is that possible?
You're going to DVR and score?
That is correct, yeah.
All right.
Yeah. Is that possible?
This might make the sequel book.
Very well could.
The game I missed.
Yes.
Because I was signing my Mets Bible.
No, but I won't miss it. That's the beauty of it. I'm going to go home after the book event, start the game from the beginning, and score the game. Hence why I'm politely asking anyone who's kind enough to come to Barnes & Noble tomorrow night, 7:30, Staten Island Mall, just don't tell me what's going on in the Met game. I'm a baby. Is that asking too much?
I'll pay anybody's Verrazano toll if they go up to Evan and tell them exactly what's going on with the Met game.
Why would you say that? Why?
Yeah, why not? Let's have some fun.
Have some fun?
Put some stakes on it.
No, just keep the Met game out your mouth, all right? That's it. And then tomorrow on the radio show, we'll talk about it.
It's going to be all Met fans there.
So?
How can they not talk about it?
Talk about the Mets schemes quietly amongst themselves. So are you saying that's an irrational favor to ask for?
No, it's just I don't think anybody's going to adhere to it.
All right, fine.
But they can help themselves.
Before we get back to your calls, last night the love affair between Juan Soto and Yankee fans has continued. And there's no question we are 2 weeks into his tenure as a Yankee.
Mm-hmm.
And so far this relationship is just a full-blown love affair. He loves Yankee fans. Yankee fans love him. He's off to a great start. Fans have showered him with nothing but love. There hasn't even been a chance to boo him.
Yeah. I think he's doing things that no other athlete has ever done either.
In terms of performance?
No, not performance. Just interacting with fans.
Well, that's what I'm saying. I saw him do something last night, Tiki, and I have been to thousands of baseball games. I have never seen what Juan Soto did last night.
Yeah.
He signed an autograph for a fan in the middle of the game. He's in the outfield, and a kid, I think it was a kid, throws him the ball. Soto signs it. He gives it back to him, and the game is going on.
That's never happened.
It
definitely doesn't happen in football. There's no way.
Well, yeah, the access is also a little bit different. No one's really close enough.
But you could go there.
I guess if you're on the sidelines, right, but then you're not even there on the play of the field of action.
You'd be criticized for it because you're completely... dismissing the game that's happening right in front of
you. Oh, so you're saying Juan Soto should be criticized?
No. Baseball is a slower sport.
No, bro, go ahead.
Football is a fast game. Like, every play
Tiki.
in theory matters.
Tiki,
in baseball,
it's okay.
There's like time between at bats,
guys sauntering
up.
No.
When did this happen?
No, it happened last night. If you want to criticize him, criticize him.
In the middle of an inning?
I think it was like right at the beginning of an inning.
So before the inning had started?
No, I think the inning had started.
What?
Go criticize him.
No. We don't criticize Juan Soto on this
show. I'm not criticizing
him. No, Tiki wants to criticize him. He's allowed to.
I'm saying it's pretty awesome because it didn't affect him.
Your eyes are telling me you think he disrespected the game.
I just have never seen it before.
Oh, now we can read eyes. Now that's allowed.
I'm just kidding.
I just witnessed something that I've never seen before.
That's your serious question?
Yes.
Juan Soto is having a love affair with the Yankee fan. The Yankee fan is having a love affair with Juan Soto, and it's beautiful. Like, it's just a beautiful, beautiful thing. What if Joey Gallo signed an autograph in the middle of a game?
Yeah, he'd get criticized.
What would you be saying on the radio right now?
Who would want it?
Exactly. We criticized the kid asking for the autograph.
All right, you know what? Let's
Was it before or after he went yard?
I think it was before. I think it was early in the game.
And then
I don't have an exact timestamp on when it happened, but I think it was early in the game.
Hold on. We're about to make a legend right now. So this happened early enough in the game that Juan Soto had not hit his home run.
I don't think he hit the home run yet.
Right. So Juan Soto signs a baseball, gives it back to the kid, whoever it is, in right field, I'm presuming, because that's where he's stationed, right? It's in right field. Juan Soto, I know he has pulled the ball a little bit. I haven't seen him lift one to right field until last night.
Mm-hmm.
Like lift it, like really try to get it over there.
And most of his power is to left center field in his entire career.
100%.
Yeah.
But it was like he tried. It was almost like an awkward swing, like him pulling that ball that he hit and he hit for a home run.
What are you trying to say? Maybe he tried to hit it to the kid.
Maybe he tried to hit it to the kid.
I'm not even joking.
If he did, that's legendary. That is legendary. Here you go, kid. And here's one for you, too.
I will say this about Juan Soto. We all know he's a great baseball player. That was obvious from watching him in San Diego before that in D.C. He has gotten off to the best start you could possibly have with fans. Yeah. That I've seen in this city in a very long time. The only guy I could kind of close is like Hideki Matsui.
What?
Hideki Matsui got off to a great start with Yankee fans because of performance. But everybody else who comes over via big acquisition, usually it's free agency. It's not a trade like this. There's a rough patch. There has been no rough patch. It is just constant lovemaking between Soto and Yankee fans since the moment he's got
here. So you're not talking about a homegrown rookie type, because I'd say Judge was probably up there, too.
No, I'm talking about a big-ticket item you brought in.
A free agent that you know is going to...
Or in this case, a trade. Yes.
Yeah, a trade. Whatever.
Because he's unique because you don't... usually when you bring in a star, it's the first year of a long contract. So you better love him, is the attitude. Like, you better find a way to love that guy, because he's going to be with your team for a long time. So Mark Teixeira could struggle. Jason Giambi could struggle. Carlos Beltran could struggle. Francisco Lindor can struggle. But guess what? Nothing that happens in year one is going to change the fact he's going to be on your team for a very long time.
So this goes back to
is different.
This is what Sean was talking about when we first signed Juan Soto or traded for Juan Soto. You can't boo him.
Right.
Because it could be just this it.
Everything matters.
Everything
matters. It's like you're dating for a full year.
Right.
And there's two unique things that have happened that made Juan Soto, I think, to me, more accepted right away. Number one, they acquired a guy on a contract year, so he probably has to perform right at the gate. Number two, I think the best thing that happened to Juan Soto and the Yankees was the fact that they did open with the Houston Astros, that they did have that kind of series. Because, you know, he has that series versus the Royals. I think we're still kind of tepid on what's going on. Right out the gate, he was the king of slaying the dragon. And that's it. Set the tone for the whole year.
That's part of why this has been the perfect beginning one could have. But keep an eye on that tonight. Let's see if Juan Soto signing autographs in the middle of the game.
Good for him.
Probably because you do it once, you kind of now people are going to expect you to do it.
Yeah, they're going to scream for it.
And now he can't do it.
What?
Because he can't.
What?
Because it's distracting.
Right now he can do whatever the hell he wants.
True, but you don't want him to go into a slump because he's worried about, I signed that kids and that's kids. You came back again for a second one. That means somebody's selling it. So no, I can't. You don't want to get into that.
I'll tell you what that autograph did last night. I've been hearing the rumors. Nothing official yet. I got that same text message I got a few months ago from the city of New York.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one,
They're listening to audio.
Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day.
Oh, and you want the proof?
Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Odyssey put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Odyssey. Visit ads.odyssey.com.
They're thinking on that back wall, changing who the king of New York is. That Juan Soto has a chance to rip it away from Jalen Brunson.
I heard 36 hours after the Knicks are eliminated, they're going to anoint Soto.
Really?
That's what I've been
thinking. 36 hours later, they're taking the crown off Jalen's head to give it to Juan?
They're going
to
give that 36 hours of grievance, and then it goes right to Soto.
Well, he's going to solidify himself when they go to the two seed. Jalen Brunson, that is.
The two seed.
Going to the two seed.
I know. By the way, I think the Knicks are going to be the two seed. I was analyzing the schedules of Milwaukee and Orlando, and they have the Knicks have a really good chance to grab the two seed. Here's the problem, though. We'll get into this a little bit later on. Do you want the two seed? You may have to play a Miami-Philly winner from the play-in. That's a tough first-round matchup.
Right. But the Bucks could lose out.
They could. They have a very tough schedule. They're playing Orlando twice. They play Boston tonight.
Boston and OKC.
Yeah.
You know what the Heat have, though?
What's that?
Dudes and dogs.
They do not. Stop. Only the Knicks.
Why are you doing that to your...
I'm just stating facts.
No, you're not saying... I'm
tired of
that. You
look at him when you say it. So it's like you're... like. Never mind.
All right, let's get back to your calls. Let's go to Gary in Middleton, New Jersey. What's up, Gary?
How you doing?
We're good, Gary.
What's up, Gary?
What are the Yankees' chances of going to the World Series this year?
I'd give them a 42%
chance. 42%
chance? I think that's pretty damn high. What do you think? You think it's lower or higher?
I think it's high. And my buddy Zach, which is a Yankee fan, he told me to call.
All right. Well thank you very much for calling.
You're not a Yankee fan?
I don't think he had anything to say. I think he just wanted to ask us a dopey question. Right. By the way, speaking of dopey questions, remember how before the season Baseball Reference had no respect for the New York Yankees and said that the likeliest outcome was to win 71 games?
Yeah.
When you go on Baseball Reference right now and you click on any team's page, they will tell you the percentage chance that they'll make the playoffs and the percentage chance that they'll win the World Series. The New York Yankees are 9-2. The New York Yankees are the New York Yankees. Right now, their chance to win the World Series, according to Baseball Reference, is 0.6%.
Wow.
Their chances to make the playoffs, 22.6%. So Baseball Reference has not changed their algorithm in hating them. And just to give you perspective, they give the Mets the exact same percentages to make the playoffs and win the World Series.
So it can't be changing in real time.
It's not. It's just...
It's got to be... plastered on there, and it is what it is.
Something about Baseball Reference hates the New York Yankees, and it doesn't make a lot of sense to me. Scott's calling from Stratford. What's up, Scott?
Guys, I want to tell you, you guys do a better job than anyone analyzing baseball from a fan perspective. You really do. It's amazing.
We appreciate it.
We try to cover
it all.
Thank you. Including hot dogs to eat.
I never, ever have anything I can call in about because I'm usually... horse and buggy right next to you guys. But the chicken fingers, I consider myself an expert on.
Yes, you're a chicken finger expert? All right, so have you experienced the new chicken fingers at Yankee Stadium yet or no?
I have, and they're lackluster at best.
Really?
And I'll tell you why.
Why?
I'll tell you why.
Yeah.
Their current vendor puts out a chicken finger that is less chicken, more breading. So the bigger and bulkier it is, you're getting more breading for what you pay. The best chicken fingers I've ever had, Sysco Food Service sells them. They're the flat, tender, nice and crispy. You're getting more square footage of chicken. It dips well in a 2-ounce container. They got to go with Sysco. You guys have juice. Talk to them.
All right, let's do it. You know what, Scott? You brought it up on the air right now. If you're listening and you're the New York Yankees, fix this mess. Okay, fix this mess. You fix this lineup mess. You guys did a great job with that. I commend you. You always fix your bullpen. You always make trades at the deadline. I got something new you need to fix. Fix the chicken finger problem. Because not only did Scott in Stratford have a problem, and he's an aficionado, Sean Morash has a problem. We got another guy here at WFN. I don't know if he wants his name revealed, but he likes chicken fingers. Very unimpressed with your chicken fingers so far.
Suck it!
It's by far the most disappointing part of this 8-2 Yankee season is the chicken finger.
I think you're 9-2 now.
9-2 Yankee season.
By the way,
see, we win so many games, you forget.
Two callers ago questioned the fourth shortest odds to win the World Series, +900, according to FanDuel.
Dodgers,
Braves, Astros, and then the Yankees.
No, the Yankees are respected by sports books. They're respected by everybody with a half a brain for whatever reason. And it doesn't matter. But Baseball Reference hates the New York Yankees, and I don't understand it. And this started before the season. It got a lot of attention. Oh, can you believe Baseball Reference thinks the Yankees are going to stink? They're this, they're that. It's continued. Because anytime you go on Baseball Reference, they will tell you playoff odds. They'll tell you World Series odds. And the Yankee odds are still as if they're a crappy team. Mm-hmm. And I don't know what it is. I just don't understand it. Like right now, I'll give you a great example. The Boston Red Sox have better odds to make the playoffs and win the World Series than the New York Yankees. Now, how does that make sense? On what planet? Yet Baseball Reference still peddles
that. How does that make sense based on what the offseason brought you?
Tiki, it doesn't make sense on any level. How about today brought you? The Red Sox getting banged up with injuries. Trevor Story's out for the year. Nick Pivetta's banged up. We got more pitching injuries every day. Framber Valdez has an elbow issue. New Rochelle's very own. Josiah Gray's got like a strained flexor muscle. Right. Like, injuries galore. It's crazy. Let's go to Andrew in East Haven. What's up, Andrew?
Hey, what's going on, guys?
What's up, dude?
You guys were talking about that ball that Juan Soto signed.
Yep.
The story I'm hearing, and I haven't had a chance to vet it yet because I'm still at work,
yes,
is that is the ball he hit for a home run, his first Yankee Stadium home run.
Oh,
the kid threw him the ball, and instead he signed it and gave it back to the kid instead of keeping it.
Wow. That makes him even more badass. Yeah, now, Sean, you're shaking your head. What's the issue?
I got a text from somebody who was in the right field bleachers last night that said that was right before first pitch.
Okay. So it was not
right.
What our last...
Well, so now we're all over the place.
No, right. But to our last caller's credit, he said, I haven't had a chance to vet this yet.
Mm-hmm.
This is the rumor going around.
Yes.
Now, it is possible he did it twice. It's possible he signed the ball on the video I've seen and others have seen before the game or right as the game is starting, and he may have done it again.
Yeah, why didn't this become a thing? You know, Ohtani's first home run in Dodger Stadium became a deal.
Because Shohei Ohtani is a lying baby.
Mm.
That's why.
Mm. Okay.
I mean,
or maybe he was just lost in translation.
No, I think that, look, we want to have the discussion.
I don't know.
Okay, let's have the discussion. Shohei Ohtani is a fraud. Something's going on here. Like, nothing about him is real. That's my new conspiracy theory.
Mm.
I think everything about him that we've been told has been fraudulent. His dog is fraudulent. His marriage is fraudulent.
Because it came out of nowhere. Both?
Well, it's not even that, bro. I think a lot of it is attached to this issue with his translator. And now a story came out that basically he and the Dodgers lied about the way they treated a fan who caught that home run ball you mentioned.
And I feel it was a woman, right?
It was a woman, yes.
Right.
And they said, hey, if you give Shohei the ball, we're going to do this, this, and this for you. And Ohtani even claimed, yeah, I spoke to her. And she's like, it never happened.
Of course he didn't speak to her because he doesn't speak English well enough to have that kind of conversation.
No, but he could have spoken with her, the translator.
Oh, I see.
I don't think we're being technical here. I just think we're starting to get hints now that Shohei Ohtani is not who we think he is. And look, are we going to make a big deal out of it in New York? Probably not. We'll see where this investigation goes into his translator. But we're starting to get the breadcrumbs that Shohei Ohtani is like a fraud.
Mm.
I feel bad saying it. I got nothing personal
against him. It's hard to say that because he's so good and he comes off as so genuine.
Well, I didn't say he wasn't a great baseball player. Mm-hmm. I'm just saying everything about him now, I think you question.
But I'm saying he also comes off as very genuine and direct.
Wow.
And straightforward.
I don't believe that anymore.
But I don't know.
Are you relieved as a Met or Yankee fan that Soto didn't want us? I mean, Shohei didn't want us?
No. Here's why I wouldn't go that far. Because he's a great baseball player. And if we had a guy who is this fraud in New York, I mean, we would deal with it if he performed well enough. I mean, you put a banner up for Alex Rodriguez.
He's a champion. You shut your mouth.
I mean, am I wrong?
I mean,
what am I missing?
Cared about
cats got your tongues? Both of you guys don't want to speak anymore?
Shohei is potentially betting on baseball.
Okay.
Alex wasn't betting on baseball.
I never compared what they did. I'm just saying that Sean said, are you relieved that Ohtani didn't come to New York? I'm like, no, we've had frauds here before. As long as you perform at a high enough level, we would deal with it. Would we talk a lot about it? Yeah. Would we debate Ohtani being a fraud like all the time on this radio station? Yeah. I'm going to mention it today. We're all going to move on because we don't give a rat's ass.
Not for nothing. Shohei is lying about meeting a girl for a ball when A-Rod couldn't give enough balls to girls in the stands. Big difference.
Who would you rather have?
Alex.
Especially because he brought you a championship. How many times did the Angels make the postseason?
With Shohei Ohtani on the team?
None.
That's a big fat zero. Tommy's calling from Secaucus. Hey, Tommy.
How you doing, guys? First time calling. Love the show.
Appreciate it. What's up, man?
Soto, as a lifelong New York Rangers fan, I'm going to tell you something. In 1991, the New York Rangers acquired Mark Messier. The love affair began, and it still goes on today.
Good point.
Through the Canyon of Heroes parade, If Juan Soto can do that, God bless him, but I don't think he does.
Yeah, well, I mean, he's got it. Basically what Juan Soto needs to do is guarantee a victory in a big-time spot. Which, by the way, I wouldn't put it past Juan Soto and his personality. Like, it would not surprise me.
Really? He doesn't seem, cocky like that.
No!
I could see a Game 7 ALCS where we get the front page of the paper, we will win tonight from
Juan
Soto.
Yes, I could too. I completely agree. Aaron Judge would never do that.
Right.
That's not his personality.
He would just play New York, New York, and Fenway and hope people
know. Yeah, but it's one thing to say, we're going to win tonight.
Yeah.
Versus saying, I guarantee you we're winning tonight.
Well, what exactly did Mark Messier say before that game against the Devils?
We will win tonight.
Yeah, so there you go. It's kind of the same thing. Like, you're parsing the word on it. We talk about it as a guarantee, but all he said was, we will win tonight. And the way I envision it is, it wouldn't be in a seventh game. It would be the Yankees are down 3-2 with a game 6 at Yankee Stadium, and the Astros are looking to close the Yankees out. And Juan Soto will be sitting there in his locker, and Mike Vaccaro, one of the great reporters in our town, is going to go up to him and say, you know, Juan, Yankees have been in this spot before. Are you guys going to lose to them for the fifth time in the postseason? 15, 17, 19, 22.
Yeah, so you know, bait him. So
bait him a little bit.
Bait him into saying, no, we're going to win.
And Juan will look up at Mike Vaccaro and said, let me tell you something. I wasn't on those teams. Tonight, we're going to win. We're going to win this game. And you could write that down. That's how Juan Soto would say it. So I don't know if he'd actually use the word guarantee, but I could see a defiant Juan Soto putting that kind of pressure on himself and then walking four times.
But I also then would challenge you and say, what else are you going to say? Yeah, we're gonna lose tonight. Like, what else are you saying?
But that's always the couch. When they don't have to say anything. They could just say, good opponent, we're going to go out there. No, we're going to go out there and we intend on winning this game.
Oh, by the way, who did the Yankee game last night?
Justin Shackle.
Justin Shackle did a great job last night. But Justin Shackle made the same mistake a lot of great broadcasters make.
Which is?
Justin Shackle did a John Sterling. Justin Shackle did a Rich Ackerman. Justin Shackle did a John Minko. Justin Shackle made a tiny itsy bitsy mistake. And I say with a smile, Justin, because I'm so glad you made this mistake.
Right. Does this involve transposing a J and a C?
Yes.
Got it.
Ladies and gentlemen, Justin Shackle wanted to talk about Jazz Chisholm not being in the starting lineup.
Jazz Chisholm.
It's my guy right there.
It'll never not be funny.
There are certain phrases, and in this case, a player's name, that trips everybody up. Like, if I was a broadcaster and I had to say Jazz Chisholm's name a lot, I'd do the same thing.
Is it that hard?
Jazz Chisholm.
I mean, no, because you're, Tiki, when you were on the mic and he's either playing or mentioning, you're doing everything you can in that moment not to say what he said.
Jazz.
All you got to do is think of his first name. Jazz. You must not like jazz.
No.
You don't listen to jazz music. Maybe it sounds foreign, right? But Jazz, it's his first name. It's not Chaz.
I am not going to get dumped here. All I will say is a lot of times there's another word that gets said there by a lot of men that they think that it's on their mind.
Chaz Jizzle.
What I loved about what Justin did is you could feel, play the longer clip in a second, you'll notice this. He wanted to fix that mistake so quickly.
Chaz Jizzle. Jazz Chisholm.
Like, you could hear, like, in his head, he's like, oh my God, my career's on the line right now. I have to fix this. And the truth is, Justin should know, his career's not on the line. He did a great job. By the way, he did a great job last night.
Emmanuel Barbari was cracking his knuckles when he said that.
He's like, I'm next.
But you can hear the
ass.
He was scared. Like, did you hear that?
Yes.
Play that one more time.
Chaz Chisholm. Jazz Chisholm.
Like, he got
Jazz Chisholm.
He got caught up trying to fix it. By the way, it made me, when I heard this last night, Google other names that trip people up. So would you like to hear a few?
Oh, I would love to.
I'm going to have to be very careful with this. There was a guy who played in the Olympics in 2000, and his name was Gregor, and his last name was Fuka. How do you spell that?
F-U-C-K-A.
There you go.
But he's Slovenian, so that's a Slavic language, so it's definitely a ooh instead of a .
All right. I'm looking at this is a list from Bleacher Report. They compiled some of the names that trip you up. B.J. Johnson. Arena Slutskaya.
Build that ass first.
How would you say this name?
Arena Slutskaya.
Arena Slutskaya.
Your sister's ass.
Oh, I remember this guy, Ron Tugnut. Remember Ron Tugnut?
Yeah, goalie for the Penguins.
Who's a hockey player. Boy, this guy's a legend, but you know what? You have to include it. Dick Butkus. Got to include Dick Butkus.
Right.
Dick Pohl. Who could forget Dick Pohl?
I never forgot it.
Never forgot Dick Pohl? Dick Trickle. You know Dick Trickle?
Yeah, he's a NASCAR driver.
And this is the name that gets me every time. This is the winner of the funniest name in the history of sports. And I don't want to say it. Even though I know him, he was like a longtime coach. He played, I think, a little bit before my time. But he was an outfielder for the Chicago White Sox, the Minnesota Twins. But I remember him as a coach.
What would you say this guy's name is?
Rusty Kuntz. That's my favorite one. And then the injury that trips everybody up, this is where Justin better hope we don't get a Yankee injury where there's a back issue. And it's a bulging disc in your back. Every sports broadcaster, like Ian Eagle's done it, Gary Cohen has done it. They've all misstepped with the bulging disc. I'm a professional. See, I'm not making that mistake. Or at least I'm being very, very careful.
Isn't it Ron Tugnut once missed a game with a bulging disc?
That's a good point. So anyhow, great job by Justin Shackle. He'll be on the call tonight. John Sterling's a little bit under the weather. Hopefully he'll be back soon. And again, hopefully this guy's not in the lineup tonight. I'm sorry, Luke.
Come on,
you
man.
Up.
Don't quick pitch.
Chaz Chisholm. Jazz Chisholm.
Sorry. Well, now I'm checking the Marlins lineup. I want to see if he's in the game tonight because he's a little banged up. He's a little injured. All right, here we go. We got the lineup. Do you hope he's in the lineup?
I knew Chaz Chisholm.
I knew there was another way to say it.
Oh, jeez.
Bulging.
Bulging disc?
Herniated.
Yeah. Herniated disc, yeah.
That's what you should say.
We've got some unfortunate news for our buddy Justin Shackle. Jazz Chisholm is in the lineup.
Chaz Chisholm.
A lot more opportunities.
Up the bat.
Shackle root for another 2-hour game.
Chaz Chisholm. Jazz Chisholm.
Do you think this makes it less likely he screws this up tonight because he's already gotten it out of his system?
He said Jazz 30,000 times today. Guaranteed.
You think he's practicing it?
He's saying Jazz. All you got to do is remember his first name. Forget his last name. Jazz.
No.
Jazz hands. You guys know that. Jazz hands.
He's overthought it
he's
all
He's not missing it up.
Pat Statting.
It's his number one thought all day. I've seen a lot of missed threes from guys when they practice them all day long.
So you think, because I'm going to listen to every second of this game tonight, I'm going to purposely check it out. I'm putting him on the clock here. And by the way, nothing wrong with it. If he screws it up, it's, you know, I think it's better.
Of course.
To be honest with you, you're going to predict we get a Jazz.
Pat Statting.
No, that's Tiki.
Chisholm.
You think we're going to get that mistake tonight?
Chaz Chisholm.
We're going to get a Chaz Chisholm tonight.
I'm not predicting a mistake. I'm predicting that it... I guess I have to predict something.
No, is he going to do Jazz Chisholm? I'm asking you.
Yeah.
He's you say yes.
He's getting it perfect.
You say perfect. What do you say,
Jazz
Logan?
Jazz Chisholm.
He's going to screw it up.
Mm. Yeah, I think
because you overthought it.
I think I lean towards Sean and Loogie.
Chaz Chisholm. Jazz Chisholm.
Right, well, here's the good news. I will be locked into this tonight.
Oh, there's one more you missed. I just got tweeted.
Go ahead.
1920, an NHL player by the name of Harry Dick.
Tough way to go through life.
Very nice. Very nice. We'll come back and get to your calls, 877-337-6666, the toll-free number. And plus, the New York Giants may do something really aggressive in the next 2 weeks. Plus, they've got something going on with their team that I think Tiki needs to address. Because I know this annoys me, but if there's anybody can speak on something circling around the Giants right now, it's Tiki Barber. We'll get to it coming up in a few minutes. And, of course, more of your calls getting you set for tonight's Yankee-Marlin game, tonight's Met-Brave game, and, of course, Knicks-Bulls and the big, big matchup at UBS between the New York Rangers and your New York Islanders. A lot going on this busy Tuesday in New York City. If you are listening on the Odyssey app, you could rewind to the top of the show. I was very enthusiastic and pumped up off of a shocking, stunning New York Met victory that feels like a game that can really turn things for this Met team, who everybody was burying 5 games into the year. So you could rewind to the 2 o'clock hour and hear anything you may have missed on this show, including Posted and Toasted, which we did at 3:30. Now, real quick, Darren Waller is a Giant, I think, because he's still on the team, but he's openly saying, I haven't decided if I'm going to retire or not. And look, I want to be fair about this. You decided to retire. When did you decide to retire?
After the second game of the season when the Philadelphia Eagles, Jeremiah Trotter beat the crap out of me and I couldn't get out of bed for, I don't know, 4 days or so.
Okay, so it's still early on. When did you tell the New York Giants, hey guys, I'm out, I'm going to retire?
It kind of came out accidentally because...
I remember that. And that was like during the season.
John Branch, who was a writer for the New York Times at the time, was following me around because I did a lot of stuff during my playing career. While I was in season, I was working at Fox News. I was writing my, I don't know, third or fourth children's book. And I had all this other stuff going on. I was starting a business. So all these things were happening. And so he was just following me around, like a day in the life of Tiki. And he was at a couple of these meetings. And at the end of the day, he told me, he's like, I think you're retiring and I need to write this. And I told him, I'd rather you not. But we didn't put any restrictions on his access. And so later that night, Peter John Baptiste, who's now... head of PR down in Cleveland, he wrote me and was like, did you want this to come out like this? I said, absolutely not. But so the next day I went in and had a conversation with the team and said, this is my plan. And so I told him I'm going to have a great season, which I did. We got to the playoffs and then we played the Eagles in the playoffs and that was it.
So your decision feels a lot easier than poor Darren Waller.
Yeah.
Because Darren Waller is sitting here on April 9th and he's saying, quote, I know I have to make a decision at some point.
Yeah.
You got to be 100% bought in for the grind, and I have to make sure I'm bringing that to the table.
And by the way, that's exactly right. Why I knew it was time for me to retire.
Because you knew you couldn't.
Well, it's not even the grind of the season. I could have faked it through that and played an unprepared season, but I didn't want to do the stuff in the off season. I didn't want to go to Joe Carini every day of a week and deadlift and squat and run and sprint and become this, like, massive human being that I had to be in order to play 16 weeks of football before, you know, 17 weeks. And so it was just my interests were elsewhere and I wanted to do other I wasn't fully committed to prepare like I had prepared for the past 10 years. And so I retired. And so Darren Waller is fighting that.
The problem
is,
what do
I want to do? What do I want to commit to?
And I respect that. And I understand that he hasn't fully decided yet. But when does he have to decide? You tell me, or you tell him. Like, is there a date where he owes it to the Giants to say, I'm in or I'm out?
Well, I mean, the question is whether or not they will address his position of need in the draft. And if they think they need to, then he needs to tell them before the draft. Ideally, it should have been before free agency.
Right.
But that's clearly gone and passed. And so I would say it needs to be before the draft. Not that they're going to draft Brock Bowers in the first round, but there are, I'm sure, a handful of tight ends that could be, taken in the third or fourth or fifth round that the Giants need to know whether or not they need to target that guy. So they have some guys on the roster, including Bellinger. But it's still, it's a position of need. It's a growing position of need in the NFL, especially guys that can be both receivers, but also that tough inline tight end, even though we don't see a ton of them anymore.
And they signed two of them, Manhurst and Jack Stoll.
Right,
so it seems like they're operating like they don't expect him to be back.
Right, but those guys aren't Darren Waller.
No!
Darren Waller, and I don't mean that because Darren Waller's older, but Darren Waller is a tight end by name.
Like, think about the way we talked about Darren Waller a year ago after that trade and the impact he was going to be able to make on this offense.
But
problem
he was
hurt. Yeah, he was hurt, which I think is the biggest knock on him over the last couple of years. And I respect that. This is a pretty tough decision, especially when you've had these injuries over the last couple of years.
And I think just that's the biggest thing. I think that's what's making this hard for him to want to come back.
I totally get why it's hard for him. I just wonder if I'm the Giants, when do you say to him, bleep or get off the pot? Are you going to play or not? Darren Waller said in this
honestly,
Athletic article.
They probably already said it.
Oh, you think so?
Yeah.
Because Waller said in The Athletic, it would be ideal to decide before the draft, but I also don't want to put that on myself. It's got to be before summer break for sure. Well, what if it's not?
Mm-hmm.
And what if he's sitting there in August saying, I'm not sure. I mean, I guess it's possible. If he hasn't decided now.
The Giants have to operate like he's not going to be there.
Yeah.
They just have to.
Well,
I know it sucks, but it is what it is.
That turned out to be a waste of trade. I think we all agreed it was the right decision. The right move.
Who was that again? That was
they got the pick that they got for Kadarius Toney.
That's right.
And they flipped it for Waller. And you could say, well,
both
who cares?
Both picks.
Both. Well, say that one more time.
Both of the picks, not just one pick.
Okay.
Third and a fifth.
So you could argue, well, you traded Kadarius Toney for Darren Waller. Who cares? Well, you could have done something else with those picks.
Mm-hmm.
And I remember at the time thinking, hey, it's worth the gamble. But the gamble attached to it was exactly what we've seen. Can he stay on the field? Are we going to see the Darren Waller from 3-4 years ago? And we never did. And now, even if he plays this season, I mean, what the hell do we expect from Darren Waller in 2024?
Well, I think that's honestly why the Giants have to operate like he's not going to be there. Because even if he is there, what's the expectation? It's not Darren Waller from 2021. It's what we saw last year, which was some good, a lot of unavailable. Sometimes he was just kind of not visible. So you got to prepare like he's not going to be the Darren Waller that you initially traded
for. Oh, no question about it. Let's get back to your calls. We'll get to some baseball later on as well, including why Anthony Volpe should be the leadoff hitter now. I'd actually pull the trigger and do it now, and I'll give you my reasons. But let's go to Tim in Cliffside Park. What's up, Tim?
Hey, guys. How are you doing? Hope you're having a good day.
Thanks. You too.
I was fortunate enough to be at the game last night, and I had a really good view of the umpire from home plate. Mm-hmm. I was right behind him. And I can tell you, he was not happy with what was going on in right field just before the start of the game.
Oh, with Soto signing the autograph that we were talking about?
Yeah. He had his hands on his hips, his mask in his hand, and he was...
He was waiting?
He was waiting for Soto to throw the ball back and to be ready for the first pitch. And eventually he just, like, threw his arms up in the air and went behind the catcher and called for the pitch. Without Soto even being done yet.
Well, by the way, you know what? The home plate umpire is a guy by the name of Todd Tischner. You know what, Todd? If you're so pissed off about it, just start the game. Exactly. Put it on Juan Soto.
Which he did.
Yeah, just start the game. You don't have to cry about it. You don't have to be a baby about it. I think it's badass. It's badass until something really embarrassing happens. Mm-hmm. It's badass until there's a fly ball to right field and he's distracted. But for now, Juan Soto has fully embraced the Yankee-ness. He's embraced the New York-ness. And I think what's awesome for the Yankee fan is not only is he producing at a really high level, so you're watching this great player, it feels like he has Soto'd the Yankees instead of the Yankees Yankee-fying Soto, if that makes any sense.
Yeah, it does.
Like when Johnny...
The swag.
Yeah.
Like the approach.
When Johnny Damon got here and he had to cut the hair and he had to cut the beard, it was like Johnny Damon went corporate. It was like the Yankees brought in this crazy wild guy and they brought him in here... And now it's just, all right, we're going to corporify him.
He's not crazy and wild any longer.
I think the Yankees didn't corporate Juan Soto. Juan Soto Soto'd the Yankees. That's why the Yankees are, as some call them, dogs. Some may say they are, what's the other term?
Dudes. Doing damage.
Yeah. Last night they did a lot of damage.
They did a lot of damage. And it was a very dude-like effort. But that is that's to me one of the most amazing parts about Soto. We all know he's a great player. It feels like he Soto'd the Yankees instead of the Yankees corporating Juan Soto. Does that make sense?
Yes. The corporate Yankees are dead. These are Soto's Yankees. Mm-hmm.
They're Juan Soto's Yankees. It's crazy. Let's go to Sean in Carmel, New York. Hey, Sean.
Hey, what's going on, guys? Just two things. I heard your funny names with all the guys. So when I played college football at Pace University in Pleasantville, where the Giants used to practice.
Yep.
So back in the day, I used to have LTs to give me wedgies. My dad was a coach there.
Wow.
Different story.
Oh, yeah. LT would give you wedgies?
Wow. He would give me wedgies, yeah. Before I would drive us around in a Jeep in the parking lot. Oh, great times.
Yeah.
Anyway, so my football coach, his name was Harry Johnson.
Yeah. Yeah, that's a tough one. I wonder why when you have a name like that, why you wouldn't just call yourself like Hank or something. Because when you're Hank Johnson, it's no big deal,
no,
right?
You embrace it.
Oh, you go fully into it?
Yes, you lean into it.
Is that something you would do if you had a crazy name?
I leaned into Morass my whole childhood.
Mm. Yeah, but your mom doesn't like that.
Now, because I think I leaned into it so much.
Yeah, but why would then she take it out on other people calling you Morass if you called yourself Morass?
Because she doesn't see things through the eyes that I do.
Okay. Man, do you know what happened?
What?
I'm going to tell you. I'm sorry, I got to tell the story. My former partner decided to call Sean flippantly Morass on the air.
I spoke to Robert Saleh last night.
What was that?
His mom called?
His mom didn't just call. His mom texted him.
Uh-oh.
And called Craig, the most vile name I've ever heard, to send a message, you don't call my son Morass.
Nice. Your mom is down like that, huh, Sean?
It was a text that wasn't supposed to be shared with Craig, but got to Craig.
Well, I mean, as soon as you told me, I was like, I'm going to tell Craig. He got a good laugh out of it, but it was like, whoa. I mean, that is some crazy stuff.
She fights for her Cubs.
I just find it funny that you embrace that name considering it really annoyed your mom to that level. That's what I found unique when you brought that up.
You try being the fat kid with acne and a bad mushroom cut with a receding hairline with the last name Morash, that's Morass, and tell me how you go through life if you don't embrace it.
That's a good point. Jay's calling from Brooklyn. Hey, Jay.
Hey, how are you? I love the show.
We appreciate it. What's up?
Just a quick point before I get to my Mets point.
Yes.
I was having a good name for your sequel of your book. I think you should call that Put It in the Books from Howie Rose.
Yeah, but that's Howie's book. Like, if Howie writes a book, that's his name. Yeah. I can't copy that. You know what I mean?
It's a play on words. But my Mets point, and having all these bullpen issues like last night when there was not so much availability, why in heaven's name did the Mets trade David Robertson? Like, we could have had a lockdown eighth, ninth inning, Robertson, Diaz. What was the point in that trade?
Well, the trade made sense because the Mets were giving up. And considering they traded Max Scherzer and they traded Justin Verlander and they got some young prospects, I have not checked out how they're doing in the first week of the season. So the trade makes sense. What didn't make sense is why they didn't bring him back.
Yeah, because David was available.
He was a free agent, and I assumed like that's an easy bring back, like the way they brought Adam Ottavino back. And David Robertson remained a free agent for a very long time. He ended up signing with Texas, and he's off to a really good start. He hasn't given up a run yet for the Texas Rangers. Now, it's early. We'll see what happens. So I wonder if the Mets maybe just didn't believe in him. Maybe they were turned off by his struggles in Miami because he really struggled after the Mets dealt him to the Marlins. So it's not about... why did they trade him? I think trading him makes complete sense. Why they didn't bring him back. But right now what the Mets are dealing with, and it'll be better tonight, is they just have an overused bullpen.
Yeah.
Which is common in baseball because when your starters go 4 or 5 innings and you've got to use 5, 6 relievers every single night, you burn your bullpen out. Like, this is a spot the Yankees could be in, except last night, Nasty Nestor pitched deep in the game.
Yeah, he did.
So
he's great.
What the Mets need, and it's a little bit better today because Ottavino's available, Diaz is available, Brooks Raley's available, but still, you can't use these guys every single night. The Mets are going to need, as good as their starting pitching's been, and their starting pitching's actually been really good, they need deeper performances because you burn your bullpen out this way. That's the problem.
Which is why Julio Teheran gets DFA'd.
And he stinks.
Well, not only that, but that you need help.
Yeah.
Right? You need 40-man space.
You need another reliever for tonight. And then in a couple of days when Teron's spot in the rotation comes up, they'll call up Joey Lucchese or Jose Budo and have another starter. But that is the challenge right now. That's why, as frustrating as last night's Met game was by not having those relievers available, dude, it's baseball in 2024. You're going to get the same thing from the Yankees. If Clay Holmes pitches in back-to-back days, guess what? He's not going to pitch a third straight day. It is what it is. You're going to have to deal with that. And it's frustrating. Because who wants to have games that you throw away because you don't have bullpen guys available? Think about the one game the Mets have lost in the last week. The one game they lost, that Saturday game in Cincinnati, happened because they had no bullpen available.
Yeah.
So guess what? Guess what? This manager, Carlos Mendoza, sitting there, and he's stuck with Johan Ramirez throwing pitch after pitch after pitch after pitch. And his reward was, I'm going to DFA him too.
Right.
It's a tricky, tricky spot. Speaking of Carlos Mendoza, he announced the Met lineup, and I got a problem with it.
Uh-oh.
Plus, we're getting to why Anthony Volpe should lead off right now. Mix in some baseball. And Knicks, Rangers, Islanders as well. A lot to get to in the final hour. If you missed anything, rewind on the Odyssey app. We started the show talking a lot of Mets at 2, a lot of Yankees at 3. And you don't want to miss Justin Shackle's hilarious mistake around Jazz Chisholm. Go back to about 4 o'clock to hear that. It's Evan and Tiki right here on The Fan.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of 4 amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get 4 iPhone 15s on us and 4 lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto-pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto-pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well-qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Odyssey put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Odyssey. Visit ads.odyssey.com.